Today, February 26th, we're going to be spending most of our time today with an overview of the Steering Committee on Performance and Outcome Reforms. We have the final report to the governor and our committee regarding this material. A couple of notices to members that our budget books have some updated information from DHS that toward the end of the hearing I'll probably ask Mr. Albrecht from Senate Counsel and Research to step us through how to look at that. It's some additional information that can be helpful in understanding the budget materials that we have. And then also tomorrow's hearing will be in room 107. We will be going over the auditor's report on state-operated services, and then we will have two bills before our committee tomorrow. So with that, we'll call up Ramsey County Commissioner Tony Carter, one of the chairs of the Performance and Outcome Reform Committee. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much. I'd like to ask if co-presenters would
Absolutely.
Come up with me, including Chuck Johnson from the Department of Human Services and Judith Brumfield from Scott County. We are here today very thankful to you for the opportunity to share with you the work that we've been doing over the past 3.5 years in the Performance and Outcomes Reform Steering Committee. Senator Laurie, I started right in and neglected to ask if you had other comments to make before we got going.
No.
All right. Thank you. So we're here to share with you this work, which was actually put in place by the legislature in 2009. It has been a serious undertaking. We are thankful for your time today, looking forward to your positive reception and to the implementation of the reform that we are recommending to take place over the next years. Again, I introduce Chuck Johnson from the Department of Human Services and Judith Brumfield from Scott County. We have been engaged together with our community in the form of client, representative, and service providers and neighbors in the process of reviewing all of our human services to put in place a system that will focus on outcomes with standards and ways to measure performance so that we are able to continuously improve the work that we are doing on behalf of our communities. We have been prompted in this work by county's real concern to provide for positive outcomes in all of the human services areas that we perform. This work is predicated upon the need to ensure a state and county relationship that focuses on ensuring those outcomes. It is also predicated upon the need for flexibility in the delivery of services. We have built a system of services that really are focused more on processes and on mandates to tell counties what to do and how to do it, but with difficulty in assessing the work that is done in terms of the level to which that performance is actually addressing the outcomes that we need for the people that we serve. In the Service Delivery Authority Act, the Performance and Outcomes Steering Committee that we are representing and reporting on today was charged with addressing that first part, the creation of the state and county relationship focused on outcomes. There is also a Results Accountability Council that was formed to focus on helping counties to collaborate in forming new collaborations and service delivery authorities and in determining how, in fact, the flexibility can be granted. Our work is, again, on that first part, which is, yes.
Go ahead. I wanted to just alert members, too, that, you know, if you'd read the report, it said that there was supposed to be legislative proposals coming forward, and those are included in the governor's budget, I confirmed this morning. And so members can find that on the Human Services Fast Facts, page 50. It's also on the MMB tracking document, page 26. You can find the details of that. There's about $1.5 million for the upcoming biennium to support this policy direction and the work of the committee. And so we will see that information. We'll see the actual language to implement these recommendations coming forward with the language in the governor's budget. And if people want to see the initial outline of that, it'll be again on page 50 of the Fast Facts and page 26 of the MMB document. So that'll give members a little bit of a understanding of how to put this in context.
And I thank you, Senator Lori, for interrupting to provide that context. I should also mention that we're here to share with you today, and we know that you've provided adequate time for us to share our outcomes. We also know that you have questions, and I would open up to the manner in which you would like us to share with you for your questions to come within the presentation or afterward, whichever you prefer. And I might just ask if you would want members to know that they can actually ask those questions within.
Sure, sure. I think members are pretty good at asking, right, Senator Kiffmeyer?
Well, that works for me.
It works for us,
all
too.
Of
that
us.
Is the way we typically try to operate.
All right. Thank you so very much. So again, from the perspective of counties, we have always been focused on outcomes and wanting to see reform that actually focuses on the continuous improvement system to ensure the performance of counties and their outcomes. Counties have come to the table for this work not reluctantly, but really boldly and strategically, understanding that the system that we have today, which has been built fragment upon fragment, requirement upon requirement, process upon process, and mandate upon mandate within the environment of the Minnesota new normal, is not a sustainable system. So this work is work that counties have been thinking through over a long period of time. In response to the office, to the legislative auditor's report in 2007, and in response to a proposal by the governor to actually consolidate counties into 15 delivery systems, the counties were ready to respond and to propose instead this type of system that would focus on performance, focus on our relationship, and focus on the outcomes that we need to achieve. So the legislature in 2009, through the Service Delivery Act, did in fact put in place the process that we've been a part of. The legislature established us as a steering committee and focused on outcomes, or I should say products, of our work, which over the past 3.5 years we have been busy preparing and delivering. And so over that period of time, these are the products that have come forward on an annual basis, presented to you and to the governor. That would be the list of essential human services. These are the mandated services, be they by the federal government or the state government, that counties must perform in the area of human services. The date was set for December 15th of 2012. The delivery of a final report, which would recommend that system that we are going to be talking about. And so a 3-year work plan was delivered at the end of 2009. After the committee began its work in the middle of 2009, that 3-year work plan outlined the processes and the work groups that would be performed in order to establish standards within each of the areas, children, adult, and income services of human services. We also, understanding that the Commissioner of Human Services has the final authority and is able to determine, in the end, remedies for non-performance if counties should fail to meet the standards that were being set, put in place and delivered to the legislature at the beginning of 2010, a uniform review and graduated accountability process for the purpose of answering non-performance, should non-performance actually occur. And should counties or service delivery authorities, which were put together to deliver services on behalf of counties, fail to meet the levels of performance? These were remedies that could include, to start, a warning, that could include financial penalties assessed against counties, or that could include, in fact, the services being delivered or turned over to another county or authority to deliver on the part of counties. Again, these were bold steps recommended early while we were in the process of actually looking over all the areas of performance and determining the standards, the outcomes and the standards, and how we would monitor performance. But they were put in place because counties truly are focused on accomplishing the outcomes that we agree upon, and understanding that if those outcomes for our communities are not provided for, then there needed to be some remedy. At the beginning of 2011, the counties also began to report annually any recommendations for legislative consideration, and those were all contained within the report. And at the end of 2012, again, we delivered to you our final report on the recommended minimum outcome standards across human services. Our Performance Steering Committee, or Performance Reform Steering Committee, was comprised of the Department of Human Services, our counties, represented by the Association of Minnesota Counties, and MACSA, the Association of Administrators, and also people from the community, client advocates representing organizations providing services or advocating for clients in our environments. Both myself and Chuck Johnson from the Department of Human Services, whom you will hear from, chaired the committee. The steering committee began its work in 2009 and wrapped up just at the end of this year with the delivery of the report to the legislature and to the governor. In putting together the performance recommendations, the performance and outcome recommendations, we focused on a set of overall goals for a performance management system that would set standards, that would require performance reports, that would measure the performance of counties and remedy their performance. And those goals are here. We looked at making certain that there would be common outcomes and performance measures across the entire state. We wanted to make sure that the mechanism we were putting together would be one that would be effective in advancing continuous improvement to assure that we were accountable for outcomes in our communities. We wanted to make certain and provided in this particular system that we are recommending transparency in reporting our performance to the public as well. The four groups that we created, our work groups, were in charge of doing that examination within the areas of children, income supports, and adult services. And we also put together a technical panel that was comprised of experts from our counties and community and Department of Human Services who were able to advise each of those work group areas on the work that they were doing in reviewing what existed or what exists today, rules and regulations and process mandates and requirements, and in establishing what we felt would be fundamental for accomplishing the outcomes for our communities. The groups were comprised, as was the steering committee, of the community of stakeholders. These are the areas that we looked at, again, within children, adult, and income support services, representing the essential services, the mandated services that are provided by counties for the benefit of children and families and adults, our entire community. Finally, the committee put in front of you in December a set of recommendations. Chuck will share with you the recommendations which are provided in these four areas, And we look forward to your questions, to addressing your questions, and again, to your positive reception today and moving this forward during this legislative session. Thank you so very much.
Mr. Chair, I'm Chuck Johnson with the Department of Human Services. I'm aware that Commissioner Carter needs to leave if anyone has questions for her before she has to head to her board meeting.
Senator Kiffmeyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, Commissioner, I quickly read through the presentation of all those materials, but probably in addition here, I think the main thing that I was looking for here is that the way to decrease racial or ethnic disparities is to focus on the concept of everybody deserves a quality outcome. And when you say everybody, that means everybody. And so without naming specifics, but I think for the purposes you want to do, you want to kind of keep track so you can have an actual report of success. But I always find that, especially when you have standards like you do here, and they're actually pretty well defined and measurable and all those kinds of things. But I really hope that in focusing on the everybody has a quality outcome, that sometime in the future we won't need to measure the pieces that go into that. I think that's the ultimate success.
I thank you very much, and I think that we would all endorse that we want that to be true mm-hmm. for everyone. And so, as you will hear, as Chuck and Judith will overview, we're looking to ensure that the data is represented for everybody. Mm-hmm. And we've noted that in Minnesota, although outcomes have been, as measured state to state, quite good overall, our state needs to pay attention, at least in the short term, for the long run, to outcomes that are specific to groups within our communities. Because when you pull back the covers, what you see today is that the outcomes are not as similar as we would want them to be. So we're attempting to provide data and information to understand the reality that we have today and the work that we need to do for the future to ensure that that reality will be ours. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for noting that.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, thank you. We have four sets of recommendations that you can see on the slide that Ms. Brumfield and I are going to take you through. The Establishment Performance Council, which would guide the implementation of the system. We have a first set of outcomes measures and standards that we would like to be put in place initially, and then I'll talk a little bit more about sort of ongoing how we see the evolution happening within the system. A remedies process for underperforming counties. That's what happens when a county is not meeting the acceptable standards, and Ms. Brumfield will talk in more detail about that. And then also resource to sustain the system. And that was one of the key recommendations from the committee was that we needed to have resources to make this work, and as you mentioned earlier, those are included in the governor's budget. The Performance Council. We recommend the creation of a performance council, which would essentially play the role of really advising the commissioner and also providing oversight to the system. This is really getting at the first kind of question we looked at is what does the structure of the system need to look like? And we had quite a discussion around, you know, kind of who is in charge of this system. And the logical conclusion we all reached fairly quickly is it has to be the Commissioner of Human Services. That's where oversight of the human services system sits. That's where the resources sit to do this kind of work, to kind of manage this system. What we didn't want to lose in having the department be essentially in charge of the system was that voice and active involvement for the county partners, for our partners in service delivery and advocacy community, as well as representation, as was just mentioned, from the communities of color and those who are impacted by our programs. And the Performance Council would really serve that kind of a role, giving a voice to those other folks in the system. And get a sense from looking at the slide here about what kind of activities we think this council should be involved in and that are in the legislation that you will see as well. Really, the council will have an active role in the ongoing work of identifying changes that need to be made in measures, developing standards for performance or adjusting those as funding changes, as programs change, trying to help maintain that this is a living system that involves active involvement of all parties. We also have the council set up to consider appeals from counties that may be in the remedies process and feel like they haven't been treated fairly, like perhaps they really did perform at the level they should have, they had an exceptional circumstance that the commissioner was unwilling to recognize, other ways that the performance council might be able to help to mitigate some of those kinds of issues. Not on the slide is that we're also asking that the council produce an annual report to the legislature. One of the things we thought was really important was to maintain legislative oversight of this system as it moves forward, and thought that this would be a good way to sort of ensure that that was activated and that the legislature was getting a picture not just from the department about what was going on with the system and how it was working, but also from the counties, from the other principals who are involved and have a stake in how the system works. And so that, we thought that was a really key part of ensuring that those voices, again, were being heard by policymakers as the system evolved and developed going forward. We're recommending a council that would have 15 to 20 members made up evenly of representation from the Department of Human Services, from the MACSA, the Association of County Social Services Administrators, from AMC, and then from communities of color and tribes, and then the fifth group would be service providers and advocates. So again, creating that same kind of balance that we had within the committee that completed this report and put the work before you. The second recommendation really deals with the initial set of outcomes, measures, and standards, and this is where we spent a lot of our time, is really working on what are the outcomes we want in the system, how do we measure that, and what is an appropriate standard of performance that we can measure counties against. And as Commissioner Carter mentioned, we had the four work groups that worked really hard in this area. Those are very intensive efforts, the work groups that worked on developing this. Each work group ran for 8 to 10 months. They met every other week for 3 or 4 hours. There was work in between meetings. I chaired one. Judith chaired the other two. They were very intensive work that put a lot of effort into thinking about human services and what we're trying to accomplish for people. You can see on this slide the definitions that we arrived at that I think are really important as you try to understand the system and how it works. The outcome is really the intended change that we're trying to get from the service. That's really the level that you are involved in when you're making changes or creating a new program, trying to think about how do we structure and resource a program in a way that we're going to get the outcome that we want for the people we're serving. The measure is the quantitative indicator of change. That's how we go about measuring whether or not we've accomplished that outcome, whether or not a particular county has accomplished that outcome. And then the standard, obviously, is that threshold of performance that we consider to be adequate for performance or that we consider to be the high level of performance we really want for the services we provide. This is one of our favorite slides that kind of sums together a lot of work that was done by the three work groups that really focused on the program outcomes and measures. What you see across the top in these colored bubbles are the population outcomes that were determined or developed by the work groups. Having been involved in the work group spent a lot of time on outcomes, a lot of time before we even got into talking about measures and the quantitative stuff and all the rest of it, really trying to define what we wanted for people. These also represent kind of a cross-silo way of looking at the outcomes we want for people. Each work group came up with three, but there was significant overlap between them. So when we boiled it down, instead of having nine, we only have six, and we have some different programs that kind of cross between these outcomes. Safety and security, for example, is something that we're very involved in the human services system, both for adults and for children. And similarly, children's services, or children have the opportunity to develop, that's something that's very clearly part of the child welfare system and the child care programs, but also part of our economic assistance program, which serves a significant number of at-risk kids in our state. And so we really look for those opportunities to see where there was a blending of outcomes across what you might think of as being the more traditional program silos. The list that's underneath there are county program outcomes. And this was really work by the work groups that, again, was a fairly intensive part of our discussion in those groups to identify, well, if we have these high-level outcomes that are represented in the color bubbles, what is the county's role in actually serving or ensuring or moving us toward that outcome? Because it was important as we thought about how to define measures and what we are holding counties accountable for to ensure that we were doing that based on outcomes and measures that the counties can actually impact, that they have a good influence over or even control over. And a lot of what we as people, as citizens, and certainly as those are deeply involved in this system, want for people like the people aren't living in poverty isn't something the counties can directly control that well. The counties have a huge impact on a small number of children who come through the door of the county, particularly in the child welfare system. But a lot of the children aren't touched by the counties the same way they are by the school system or others. So it's sort of a balance to looking at the broad outcomes we want, but then trying to get down to what do counties really do and how do we hold them accountable. And this list of these kind of county program outcomes were our way of creating kind of the logic model of doing that. They don't get operationalized a whole lot, but it helped us to sort of frame up what we were doing. We believe it's really important to have a phased implementation approach to how we handle the development of this system. And when we talked about this initially, we really were talking about kind of having a phase one or a phase two, and we thought that it wasn't really as demarcated as clearly as that. As a committee, felt like we were only able to scratch the surface in the 3 years we worked of all of the kind of conversation that needs to go on to establish a good set of measures and a good set of standards and a process for how we hold counties accountable. And we think we laid out a good framework, but it really needs to evolve and develop over time. So we've conceived of kind of two phases. The first one we call the implementation phase, and then kind of everything thereafter we refer to as development and maturity phase. So really getting the system out there in the implementation and then the ongoing continuous improvement of the system itself to ensure that we're developing and making it what it needs to be. And the two key principles behind this are, with the implementation phase, we don't want to wait. We want to get started. We want to go as quickly as possible. The whole area of performance management is an area where the perfect is the enemy of the good. It's really easy to pick at how this measure doesn't quite hold me accountable for what I should be and why it doesn't quite work for me. But you need to get started. You need to move forward with the system and get it into place and start it in process, because you can go through those discussions, as we did for the last 3 years, for a long time before you actually get to the ground and move things. So the first part is really we want to get this started quickly, and we recommend in the legislation the implementation date of January of 14, starting with the next calendar year. And then, as I said, after that really becomes more a process of continuous improvement, examining the outcomes, examining the measures, trying to develop and find better ways of measuring and developing standards for how we measure that, as well as working with technical assistance and best practices with counties and across counties, and identifying if there's a set of counties that are doing really well in a particular area, how can we take what they've learned and what they're doing and share that with counties that are struggling a little bit more and use that as a way to lift performance across the whole system. The next two slides are the set of outcomes, measures, and standards that we've set forward for the implementation phase, meaning those that we recommend are implemented on the initial implementation in January of 14. The report also includes measures for the next phase, some additional measures we identified that weren't ready to go right away, need more development work. We would leave it to the Commissioner and the Performance Council to work with those to develop what that next set of measures would look like. But we did recommend some in the report for the use by the folks who are involved in the next stage as well. So what this slide shows you in the next one as well are, on the left-hand side, this is the outcome, the same thing you saw in those bubbles in the previous slide. And then the measures that we're recommending that are associated with each of those outcomes. And then the column program category is sort of the program categories. We split them up in which work group they came from. So you can see, just focus on the measures for a second before I talk about the standards. A lot of the measures, for those of you that have been around for a bit and have seen what we do within the system, these are measures you're likely to recognize. These are ones that exist, not all of them, but most of them exist within the system now. They may be measures that we've developed over time working with counties. A lot of them are federally directed or required measures. We didn't want to reinvent the wheel and come up with a whole bunch of new measures where we had ones that worked very well and we had the data behind them, the counties understood them, and we had general agreement across the committee, both the counties and DHS and the advocate folks, that they were good representations of how you measure whether or not we're accomplishing that outcome. So some of the children's and adults' measures around maltreatment determinations and so forth, those are measures that we've been using for a period of time with counties, and counties understand a number of the child welfare measures, as well as the child support measures, which you'll see sprinkled throughout here as well, that get at our enforcement of child support, establishment of paternity, timeliness of getting support in place, and so forth. The one piece where I think we struggled a bit as a committee was landing on how to set the standards of performance. That is, what is a threshold we need a county to accomplish in order to consider them to be performing adequately and meeting the standard of the measure and getting us toward the outcome. What we've done here, and for a good reason, I think, is propose two levels of standards, a remedy standard, which is a minimum, and a higher standard, which really represents a policy goal. When we started into this, we understood the legislation itself required that there be a remedies process, that there be consequences for counties that don't meet the performance standards. In fact, the consequences in the 2009 legislation are fairly severe, that after going through some additional steps, if a county isn't performing, they actually could give up the service they're providing to the state or to another county in order to deliver it. But we also understood or developed, as we worked through this as a committee, a strong desire to have a system that was focused on continuous improvement. So we wanted to try to put those two pieces together. How do you have a system that is focused on continuous improvement and working together to improve the outcomes for people, but at the same time have a system that has some real accountability in it and also has, as the legislation called for, some consequences if counties are not performing? And we came up with the idea of having this kind of two sets of standards, a lower standard, which we call the remedy standard, which would be the standard below which if a county falls, they would go into the remedies process, which Ms. Brumfield will describe for you in a second, meaning that they would face some kind of program improvement and eventually some additional consequences if they aren't able to meet that low standard. The higher standard is really what do we want to accomplish collectively as a community for the people that we're serving? What's the target we're trying to get to really say this means we're doing a good job in delivering services to the people of Minnesota in the way that we expect to? And that high policy goal is not just for county accountability, it's really for system accountability. We had a lot of discussion around this, that if we have a high policy goal that we've all agreed is the right standard, and we have no counties that are meeting or very few counties that are meeting it.
Can I interrupt you, sure, Mr. Johnson, and just ask the percentile? I stumbled on that and never did really figure out what you meant by the 10th percentile. Does that mean that no matter what, 9 counties would fall below, and no matter what, only 9 counties could ever achieve the 90th percentile? Is that how you're approaching percentile? And is there a... I don't know. That I couldn't quite reconcile that when I read the report last night.
Yes, Mr. Chair, that is, as you described it, essentially what this means.
Okay.
But what we've done here is recognize this as kind of an interim place to land on standards. Our preference as a committee was really to have a hard standard. We could have a hard standard. And you see there's a few sprinkled in here on this slide here. There's a couple related to child welfare outcomes,
right,
that are established standards.
6 there.
And then there's on the top of this slide, there's the one that we use currently within the MFIP program for meeting expectations around the self-support index. There's a couple of places where we had existing standards that we agreed to. We weren't able to do that for all the programs, and we view this as kind of an interim place to start and really say for the Performance Council and the Commissioner to continue to work to develop those hard standards. We went through a phase of assuming that we could get some technical assistance in science to help us to develop what these standards should be, and I think we conclude that in a lot of cases what's really needed is just a good negotiation between the parties involved to arrive at what we think is a fair standard for the high level and a fair standard for the remedies based on current experience and resources in the system and so forth, and that's really the process that we've set up for the future. We agree that going forward, this 90-10 isn't the best way over multiple years to be able to handle this. But we wanted to have some place to start as well.
That makes some sense. Do you have an idea when you might expect or hope to be able to have the harder, more objective standards?
Mr. Chair, I expect that it would evolve over time, so we'd be picking off different measures as we went forward or different program areas, probably working in the first year pretty hard at trying to get some of them accomplished and taken care of, and then taking up others in the second year as we move toward that year of measurement. So, Mr. Chair, members, I think that for my piece, that gets us through the first two recommendations around the Performance Council and the set of measures. I'm going to turn now to Judith Brumfield from Scott County to take you through the last couple of recommendations.
Thank you. And again, I would echo what Commissioner Carter said and Mr. Johnson. We certainly appreciate your time today. This has been a 3.5-year process for us. We all, I think, feel very passionate about the work we've done. And as we got more and more invested in it, recognized how important what we thought was a critical issue really is to our system and how our system moves forward. So the pieces I'm going to talk about really are the last two of the recommendations. First of all, the remedies process, and then second, really the resources to move forward with this system. The remedies process is something that we faced very early in the committee's work because the original legislation that charged the committee to do the work said that we had to have a recommendation to the legislature within about 9 months of our initial work. And our first thought was, this doesn't make sense. We're talking about a remedies process before we even know what we're measuring. But we actually found that it was a really good task for our group to work with. Chuck and I were involved with the initial recommendation that we brought back to the committee. And we had a very lively discussion among a very small group of people about what does a remedies process mean and what are we really trying to accomplish. So we did come up with a goal for the remedies process, and that was that the purpose of the remedies process is to hold the human services system accountable for improving outcomes for the people that we serve by driving a continuous improvement process. We also recognize that continuous improvement was not solely the responsibility of counties. You will see counties are going to be held responsible for improving, but that the responsibility for that is a shared responsibility between the counties, between the state, the supervisor of the county system, as well as our advocacy community. So we really had to look holistically at what we expected to do. We recognized that the remedies process really was a critical component to put teeth into the work we're doing, that not only do we need to say we need to perform at a certain level, but there need to be consequences if counties are not. Along with the consequences, though, there needs to be help. We need technical assistance. We need to look at why some counties are doing well and other counties are not. What makes the difference? So that, again, is part of the process, to really be able to look at how do we help counties improve as opposed to just providing consequences when we don't. So what we really ended up looking at with our remedies process is a phased process over several years. Initially, there's a report back to counties of here's how you're doing, and here is what we expect you to be doing, and here's how your performance is. If you are below a certain level, and again, that was a previous question, that level is somewhat tentative at this point because we don't have all the data we need to set those standards. But if a county is below a certain level, and at this point we're recommending that that be the 10th percentile, so if you really are in the bottom 10th percentile of performance for all counties, you're going to need to do a program improvement plan, a performance improvement plan. And that would be a plan negotiated with the state to look at here's how you're doing, here's what you're expected to do, and here's how you think you will make a difference in doing that. That's a plan that, again, is negotiated and the county is going to be held responsible to over a period of time. Because much of our data is actually a year behind, we recognized that we need a lengthy period of time, and these changes are not easy to make. So it's a program improvement plan that after the first year would then be monitored again. You'll get your data. How are you doing? If you're improving but you haven't reached the criteria we want, you continue in that process of reviewing your plan, setting new targets, and moving toward those. If you are not improving, that's when we move into the penalty phase. And recommending the initial penalty phase is actually a financial penalty. That's something that has been controversial with counties, but bringing to your attention that the recommendation initially for the fiscal penalty came from the counties, came from a commissioner who said, I need it brought to my attention that we're really in trouble, and a way to get my attention is not a report, but to tell me I'm going to have a financial penalty. So we talked about how to do that fiscal penalty and came to the conclusion, again, this was a suggestion of the department, that it not be a payment back to the state, but that it be a fiscal penalty that required the county to invest a certain amount of money in the program where they were failing. So all of this process can take 2 to 3 years, even more if the county is continuing to make progress on their performance improvement plan, before we ever got to the final remedy that no one wants, but that's in legislation, which is a takeover of the program, either assignment to another county that's willing to take it on or that the state takes on the program. So the idea behind this is, if you're not doing well, we need to look at what improvement you need to make, what technical assistance you need, and that really moves us into the next issue, which is how do we resource this group. But what technical assistance do you need? Is it from the state? Is it from other counties that are doing well? And counties need to be cooperative in this and working with each other. The fiscal penalties need to be scalable, meaning if it's a really small county with a very small program, you certainly don't want a fiscal penalty the same, because it would mean very different things based on the size of the county. So the fiscal penalty is scalable. It also is based on the number of areas where you're underperforming, with a limit to how much it would be, because the intent is not to penalize counties to the point that they actually can't perform. We reviewed again the remedies process toward the end. After looking at the measures we were coming up with, we made a few changes to it, but really went forward basically with the original recommendation, and that's in the full report, that this be a process, a continuous improvement process, that it be negotiated between the county that was failing to perform and the Department of Human Services. And as mentioned earlier, the Performance Council that we're talking about would also be a resource to assist counties who felt like they were not being fairly treated in this process. In addition, within the remedies process, we put the exceptional circumstances. There may be times when there was a reason a county simply couldn't perform, and doing a performance improvement plan would not make a difference, whether there was a natural disaster. So we also have to deal with the issue of, there are some counties that have such a small number in any of their populations that their results are going to really be skewed over time. So it's looking at all of those factors. So it's more than just, are you in the bottom 10th percentile, but is there a reason that your data is what it is, that is something that needs to be dealt with aside from a performance improvement plan. Okay. The next area was really to address the racial and ethnic disparities, and that was mentioned earlier with a question, but this was something that came up and was very important throughout our process. We heard it again and again from our constituent groups, from our advocacy groups, that we have to deal with racial disparities. And one of the initial questions was, can't we have a measure of racial disparities? And the response really that came back from all of the work groups is, no, we want the same results for everyone. And so you don't want to measure a different measure based on race. You want the same measure, but you want your data broken down by race and ethnic groups so that you can really look at, as Commissioner Carter said, maybe overall you're doing fine, but you're not doing fine for certain groups. So we needed to be able to break the data down, but to say every child deserves to be safe. Every child deserves a family. Every adult deserves a quality of life. But then we need to look at each racial group and say, how are we doing here? So within the remedies process, we talk about, even if you're doing well overall, but when we break your data down, you're not doing well with a particular racial or ethnic group, you're going to need to do a performance improvement plan for that group and be held accountable specifically for that group to improve your performance in that area. We know this is critical for Minnesota. Minnesota overall performs in human services extremely well nationally. We have a state to be proud of and a system that is doing quite well. But we are one of the worst states in terms of our data with racial disparities. That's where we are simply not doing well at all. And this is critical. Our demography is changing. We are growing more and more racially diverse, and we simply have to address this. So it was a strong commitment from the steering committee that this has to be addressed, and we have to figure out ways to really improve our performance in all those areas.
May I ask a question? Senator Charon.
Thank you. Did I understand on this analysis when a county falls into the below the 10th percentile or whatever the standard is, that at that point there is a process to do an analysis of the factors that are creating that outcome, and that that's a systems analysis that includes looking at the state's participation in that outcome?
Madam Chair, Senator, I think that's really a very good summary. It is not simply, here's your program improvement plan. It is looking at, here's your data. And we have some of that in place already with a couple of programs where you actually do a self-analysis. Here's your data. How do you analyze this? What do you think needs to happen? The performance improvement plan is a negotiated document that says, here's what we're doing, here's the help we need, here's the target we think we can reach, here's how we want to do it. And it's not a one time and then we're done. You look at that and ongoing throughout the year that you're doing the performance improvement plan, you're reviewing it. One of the things that we need is better data that is real-time data as opposed to the once-a-year data. So those are all things the system has to look at. But, yes, it's also looking at what do we need from the department, from the state, in order to improve that performance. Another issue we simply have to look at is, do we have the financial resources to do it? Or are we allocating our resources correctly? So it's a very big picture. It's not just a formula plan that we put people into.
Senator Sharon.
I think that what I'm hearing us talk about is the county's performance and or failure to perform to certain measurable objectives. And then I like so much of how this is being laid out to establish an effort to get a handle on what is it we're trying to achieve and how do you measure that outcome. I'd like to see this in lots of places in the state. But I do think the system is the partnership between the state and the county, and I don't like that counties getting targeted as somehow failing to meet these objectives if the analysis isn't both the state and the county, not just the county, but the state taking a look at our partnership is not achieving its outcomes in this particular county. We need to take a look at how we're all contributing to this. Otherwise, it looks like a blame game on the counties.
Madam Chair, Senator Charon, Mr. Johnson may want to address this as well, but I can tell you this was a very in-depth discussion a number of times within the committee, and particularly something counties kept saying again and again. We have addressed that by really stressing it's a partnership, and we will not be successful if it's only holding counties accountable. On the other hand, the reality of the legislation was to say, how are we going to hold counties accountable? So that was really what we were addressing, is what the legislation told us. But we came back at the end and said it's a partnership, and part of the reason we're asking for this council and annual reports back to the legislature is to be able to say, do we have a system problem? Is it something more than just how counties are reporting? Is our system set up in a way that doesn't support the improvement we'd like? But I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Johnson. He had something further.
Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair and Senator Charon, I agree with everything that Ms. Murnfield said. I'd give a little more analytical kind of answer, perhaps, to your question as well. It kind of depends maybe on what's going on in a particular program. So if you go back to the slide where I was talking about having the two levels of standards, the higher standard and the lower standard, if we have a program where nobody's getting to the high standard, let's say you have a good hard standard for what that is, and no county is achieving that, that is a signal of a systems issue that needs to be a discussion, not just with the counties saying the counties aren't doing something right, but talking about what's not working right from the state level, what's not working right on a policy level, on a resource level, on multiple kinds of levels. On the other hand, you can imagine a circumstance where we might have a lot of counties that are doing really quite well in an area and a few that aren't doing so well, and that might indicate it really is something with those particular counties that needs to be examined more closely. And it could be something in their performance, but it could also be something about the population they're serving being different, the economic environment they're working in being different. And that creates then how do you manage the creation of the performance improvement plan to try to address the right issues. And to some extent, how do you really measure what performance is when you have variations that are outside a county's control? And we talked some about that, and I think that's another evolution of how we do a better job of trying to account for differences across counties and how we hold them accountable based on those differences. But I think that...
And to that point, is there in the remedy portion of this, when you do an analysis like that and you determine... these three counties have these common characteristics of an unusually high poverty level or an unusually high new immigrant population or something that create that the remedy then, let's see, how can I articulate this, that the remedy is that the state hasn't engaged in certain requirements upon all counties that simply fail to understand the unique character of some counties. Is the remedy capable, without coming back to the legislature, of fixing that without having to come back and start siloing everything again in terms of targeting special populations or special circumstances?
Madam Chair and Senator Sharon, yes, the remedies process has an exceptional circumstance clause in it that essentially allows a county to come and say, and for the department to work with them on identifying there's something going on in your county that isn't something you can directly control that's affecting your ability to perform. There still might be a performance improvement plan as part of that. But it wouldn't be your expectation for how performance might improve might be vastly different for that county than you would for another county that really has perfectly fine circumstances and just isn't doing a terribly good job of delivering the service. And so there's a lot of art that goes into that, as Judith said, a negotiation between the state and the county about what needs to be fixed in the plan or what is really going on. I do think that there's also, though, a measurement issue that is going to take some more evolution to get to, of trying to do a better job of actually measuring a county against what they can and can't control. We actually do that in the MFIT program with the self-support index. That is a controlled measure that has a bunch of variables on racial and ethnic demographics, economy, and other factors that kind of norms a county to its expected performance based on all of those variables that they're dealing with. That's pretty high science compared to what we have in a lot of our other measures, but it's a potential direction we could use in other areas to try to do a better job of really measuring counties for what they, within the context of what they can really control and what their challenges are.
Just one more comment, then we'll go
Senator
on.
Sure.
I may not be able to articulate the subtlety of what it is I think about this kind of problem solving, which I think is important. It has to do more with what I hear subtly communicated in how we talk about this, that it's a hierarchical concept that I'm hearing from you, that the state is going to oversee. I'm not opposed to the accountability process and all of that, but we're going to the state's going to come in and make sure that our counties are functioning at certain performance percentiles. And although when I ask about that, it sounds like we're talking partnership, but it doesn't sound like that at another level. And I absolutely believe that this process fails between the state and the county if we don't get off of that and on to understanding that it is a system of interaction between the state and the county and that we are all contributing to the negative outcome. And we need to sit down periodically and converse about that without us looking like the state overseeing why are you failing to meet certain performance objectives. So it is a leadership and conceptual difference of root cause analysis that's not a blame process to the states saying it's our obligation to give money to the counties and then we have to hold them accountable to this system. And I believe that we're trying to move towards what I'm talking about, but I don't. When I listen, I don't hear that I hear the old system still in place. So that's just a warning that I think this fails if we don't not just do this, but make the cultural change in how we think about the interplay between counties and the state.
I just wanted to say that your caution is well stated, and over the past 3.5 years, we've been practicing a new way of doing this work, really the partnership that's been created at the steering committee level and that has engaged the multiple stakeholders throughout the state, whether they be in DHS or in counties, commissioners, administrators, or in our communities, clients and client representatives. We're all working together to understand how that system ought to function. And a very important part of that joint accountability is the Performance Council, which will be working in relationship with the commissioner and the Department of Human Services on an ongoing basis to look across what that performance management system is delivering in terms of an enhanced relationship that recognizes that joint responsibility and accountability, and will work out then with partners what really needs to happen to ensure the delivery of services to the standards that are being set in an iterative way, so that this remedy is not just a hand down from above, you must, you will, and here's the penalty, but that it is an iterative process of working through what the issues are, you know, how we all ought to be addressing them in that joint accountability that will lead to the overall outcomes we need across the state.
I think that's really important. And thank you, Senator, for allowing me. I just think that when I'll know it's there when the state looks at the outcome measures and says, gee, we are failing here, instead of, gee, this county is failing here. You understand the difference?
Yeah.
We are failing here. We need to get together with our partners and figure out what's going on.
I'll assure you, counties have been iterating the very same thing.
Okay. Thank you.
Do members...
Any other questions?
Any other questions from members?
When the presenter's finished, I have a few.
Okay. This series of questions, though, really does tie together the remedies process, our issues with racial disparities, and why we believe this is the beginning of a process as opposed to the end, and why this needs to be resourced. Because we really do need to work to a different level of partnership. At this point in time, our system is very heavily built upon process requirements that are either in statute or in rule, that are, this is the way everybody needs to do it, without a recognition that sometimes doing it that way never leads to the outcome we want. So we measure how we do it as opposed to whether or not we're achieving what we really want to achieve for the citizens that we serve. So what we're trying to move toward is a situation where we're not told as counties how to do something. We're told what outcomes we are expected to achieve, and we're going to be held accountable to those outcomes without regard to the process we go through to reach those outcomes. Now, in order to do that, we're going to have some changes. We're going to have some changes in legislation. We're going to have some changes in rule. And we're going to have changes in the way we operate as a partnership. At this point in time, I can tell you counties and the state are dedicated to making those changes. But we need, on an ongoing basis, to review what are the barriers to reaching that partnership that we expect to have. What changes need to be made, which is part of why we're saying there needs to be an annual report back to the legislature saying we need this mandate relief in order to make this change. We'll be responsible for the outcome, but stop telling us in law how to do that particular process. And that is incredibly important, as you point out, where maybe two or three counties simply are not meeting the expectations, although they're doing the things they're being told to do. So what do they need to be able to have the freedom to do differently in order to meet those requirements? I do believe that we have a system right now that's ready to make those changes. We also will recognize that the state is the supervisor of the programs and ultimately responsible for how the state does. The counties administer the program. But what we're looking for is a supervisor that leads, as opposed to the discussion of simply pointing the finger and saying you're not achieving that. And I can tell you through the work we've done the last 3.5 years, we know we're in position to move forward with that. So the resources to sustain the system. And I'll go back to what Senator Lori said at the beginning. This is in the governor's budget. There will need to be resources. This group worked for the last 3.5 years. It was a volunteer group. And we expect that the council going forward will be a volunteer group. But we need some resources to sustain that. So it is in the governor's budget. It will be with an allocation of $1.5 million for the biennium. And what that is expected to achieve is the really putting into place the framework that we're laying in front of you. We've developed a framework that we think will sustain us over time, that will actually move us to a system of accountability for the work we do to the citizens that we're providing those services to. But the report only outlines the beginning. And as you pointed out with your questions, there are a lot of holes still to be there. The standards issue is major. We also recognize that in many cases we couldn't come forward with measures today, although they're in our second implementation period. And that's because we don't have the data for those. Our systems don't provide the data we need to move forward. I was here in front of this same committee several weeks ago. We talked about the need to improve our data systems in Health and Human Services. What we need to look forward to is as we implement new data systems, that we actually have those systems available to provide the data we need to hold ourselves accountable. We need that as real-time data, not a year past. And that's really what we get right now is how do we do in 2011? We find that out the end of 2012. We need to be more real-time data for counties that comes and data that comes more often than simply once a year. But one of the things that we said for this steering committee recommendation to go forward, this system needs a clear understanding of the results we're trying to achieve. And we think that we set those out at a very high level, but it needs to be ingrained throughout our system, a real understanding of what we want to achieve for the people we serve, not how we do it. We need to have the ability to know whether or not we achieve those results. And that really comes from the data, but also from a system that incorporates the voices of all the people we serve. And again, that's what we want for this kind of council, that we have the voices of the state supervisor, the counties who provide the service, but then all of the other people who are served by that system, the people who are really stakeholders of the system. We need to understand the stakeholder values and priorities and have that guide the work we do so that instead of being not just the state but counties, the big brother that tells you what you need, we need to hear what people want and then talk about how we're going to achieve that. And then we need to align the best practices and the resources to achieve those results. I've been working in this field long enough to know that what we were doing 20 years ago, thinking it was the right thing to do, we've learned is not necessarily the right thing to do. This is an evolving learning process as we work with people. And we need to continually improve and continually to be attuned to what are the best practices, what does research tell us will be effective in the things we do. So we really believe passionately in the work that we've done with the Performance Steering Committee, but we know we only touch the surface, that in order for it to go forward, there have to be resources. It has to be a living, growing entity. And that's really what we're asking of you as you look forward to the budget, that it's, in the grand scheme of things, not a lot of money, but it's essential that this be resourced and that be held forward as something that is important to the legislature as we go forward. I think by doing that, Minnesota really can become a model of how we serve people in a way that looks to what results are we achieving? Are we being transparent? Are we being accountable to the public? Thank you.
Thank you, and I appreciate the thoughtfulness that went through the steering committee and the recommendations. We'll just open it up for questions. I'll start with a question I've been holding back to in regards to the allocation, the budget request of 1.5. How many FTEs would that be? I was trying to find that information on in front of me, but I don't seem to locate it.
Madam Chair, it's 9 FTEs, and there's some additional money for some technology-related work and for contracting, for training, or some expertise to help in measure development.
Thank you. And Senator Benson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you to our presenters. You've done really impressive work in setting a system. So my questions are not criticisms, just questions. As we're looking at the, and I went into the report, and I'm looking at the high standard policy goal, and you had a slide that mirrors this. We're looking at 90th percentiles, and it makes me wonder, is this going to be an iterative process where we continually work to move that middle up? Obviously, we can't achieve perfection, but is there something built in the mechanisms for setting your goals that pushes the bottom up and draws the top with it? If you could help me.
Madam Chair, Senator Benson, as a county representative, I can tell you that's how we operate. We look at how we're doing, and our expectations as a steering committee is not that we ignore that middle group, but that the expectations for that middle group is continuous improvement, that we keep moving toward our high standard. We'd like everybody to be at the high standard. Our hope is also within a couple of years we don't do that 90-10, but we have a high standard and we'd like everybody to be there. So the intent of the resources we're asking for is that the department be able to help not just that bottom 10th percentile, but everybody to be improving, and we'd be sharing our learning among all the counties.
Okay. And continuing from that, I'm not seeing a value component to this, a dollar value component. I see you referred to the Baldrige standards, which is a very good standard. It's been a long time since I've done Baldrige training. I don't remember where the dollar value fits in. But as I think about perhaps a county that's performing in the 80th percentile, but doing it for half the cost, that seems like an important component that might push them into a 90th percentile and be a best practice to share. So could you address it? It might have been outside the scope or goal of this committee, but if you could address it, I'd appreciate it.
Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair and Senator Benson, we didn't really try to explore that question. I felt like it was a little bit beyond our scope, I think. We had some discussion around whether or not, and there is one now in the child support program, whether or not it would be appropriate, I think this is something for the longer term, to have measures that actually look at that kind of measure, essentially the efficiency of a county's delivery, dollars per case or whatever kind of a measure you'd want to use, and use that as one of the ways to kind of norm how a county is performing, to what extent they're performing, as you suggest, an example of a county that's doing very well at a relatively low cost, or perhaps a county isn't doing very well that is spending well less than another county, and what does that indicate? We didn't formally move anything forward here, but I can see how that could be a piece we look at in the longer term.
Madam Chair, Senator Benson.
Springfield.
It is one of the things that as counties we look at, but as I'm working in my own county with a performance management system, one of the first things I say is, I don't want to talk first about money. I first want to talk about how are we doing and how are we improving. It would have been real easy for us to get caught up in counties can't perform because we don't have enough money. And as a legislature, you've heard us talk again and again, there are not adequate resources in the system. I think that's a given, but we didn't want to start there. We wanted to start with how do we do better, and then I absolutely think that's something that ongoing we want to look at. Can we put a dollar figure on if you invested a little bit more in this area, you would improve? But we didn't want to start there because I think we get stuck with if we don't get more money, we're not going to get better.
And thank you. And Madam Chair, I would like to, as someone who has to help make appropriation decisions, if I know counties are looking at dollars and using them in a best practices format, it's much easier to hear, no, there's really not enough money to meet the needs in this category because you're measuring and holding yourself accountable. And so I hope that as you continue through this process of measuring counties, that very soon a dollar value measurement becomes part of I know you have a lot to get used to. You've got new systems that seem to be coming online, lots of retraining. So I'm not piling on. I'm just setting the expectation that I'm going to want to see some dollar measures at some point. And my final question, Madam Chair, if I may, how do counties feel about yet another set of reports being more accountable? And can you talk about what they're getting in return for reporting into this system?
I wanted to start because I wanted to address, in part, your statement before about the dollar value and just reiterate that we are practicing a new behavior, which is about this partnership. And clearly that will be one of the considerations that counties will be looking at, that DHS will be looking at, that you will care about. And a part of this new structure is that annual reporting. So our opportunities for coming and sharing and for being able to work out with you next steps are plenty. On how counties respond to these new requirements for reporting, we have lots of requirements for reporting already. And a part of the concern is that they are not consistent. You know, they are not continuous. They are not necessarily focused on the kind of improvement that we need. So again, counties came to the table boldly and with ideas to create this system because we are focused on accomplishing outcomes for our communities. And this has been structured in such a way with county input, as we truly do believe that it will help us to get that job done so that the work will not be extra, but with technical assistance and ongoing guidance of a council that is being put together, will be focused on helping counties to do the work. That's why we're in this relationship, and we really do believe that that's the result that can be achieved here.
And Madam Chair,
Senator Benson,
I apologize. I said this, that was my last question, but this truly is my last question. Mm-hmm. If there were reports that this supplants, if there were reports that no longer serve their purpose, if there are reports that were done for political reasons, the governor wants an unsession next session. I think that might be a really good submission.
I really like that one. That wasn't a question. That was a mandate. We'll take it.
Senator Hayden.
Good. Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Johnson and Ms. Brumfield and Commissioner Carter. Thank you for coming over. Sorry that I was late. I had another bill that I was attending to, so I may ask a question that was presented in the presentation that you've already covered. So as I look at this, I'm somewhat impressed. I will say that, one, I'm not sure how we get this. We arrive at our goal or at least measure ourselves if we have antiquated systems in which we're taking it from. So, and the reason why I say that is we know, and I've had the opportunity to work on some of those antiquated systems, and we know we're working towards them through a number of ways to do it. And so, you know, I guess I would say that, you know, this is a start, but I'm not sure that if I want to, you know, have a good garden this summer and I don't have the right tools in which to dig the hole and the right seeds in which to plant, will I get, you know, the bounty at the end of the session? So I think that that's what we really need to focus on, and I worry a little bit without those that you're not going to be able to really do the work that you want to do. So I guess that's more of a statement. The second, I guess, question that I would have is that there is a county, a large county in Minnesota that I happen to live in that I heard a stat over the summer that showed that in a particular geographic area in the city of Minneapolis, in North Minneapolis in particular, so we can stop the charade, that 68% of the people that living there were on some level of public assistance. Everything from just child, you know, CCAP all the way up to full-fledged MFIB and child welfare issues, 68% over a couple $100 million. And, you know, maybe a zip code and a half. So, one, that's just an astounding number when you think about it. Two, I think it speaks to things that, you know, the county, those folks have shown up to the county for services. So something else is going on in that geographic area that's driving them to your front door. But that, with that being said, you now, or this proposal, as we move forward, would be responsible for the outcome and the performance of that population. How does a county like Hennepin, who has this issue, how do they remotely kind of get to a place in which people are moving better, and how do we measure them? And if they don't do it, then what do we do? And if you've kind of talked about that on some level, but I just think that sometimes we really need to dig a little deeper and talk about kind of what we're doing and how we're doing in a real live example of how does a county deal with that, and how do we measure it, and then how do they get out of that dilemma?
Ms. Barnfield?
Yes. Madam Chair, Senator Hayden, we did talk briefly about that. I can tell you we talked in great detail in each of the work groups about those kinds of things. And what we really focused on is what are the pieces that the county has a strong influence over or can control. We can't control, as counties, the poverty level within an area. And we recognize that poverty brings a lot of other conditions for the people who live there. But are we doing the things we can do to help those people make their lives better? So it's as simple as making sure when those people come to our door that they get everything they're entitled to as quickly as possible. So those are the kinds of things we can look at.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kinds of things we're trying to measure. Are we really doing what we can do to influence that? The issue of poverty is beyond the scope of simply what human services can do, but we contribute to some of those outcomes.
So, Madam Chair.
Senator Hayden.
So that's kind of the point that I'm getting at. And I know you guys worked awfully hard on this, and so I don't want to dismiss it. But on some level, aren't we kind of chasing our tail if we don't kind of take the information and what we see and take it to the next level and then bring it to us and then help us influence what that issue is? I look at Senator Sharon because she talks a lot about this very thing, getting upstream, getting before the disease. Right? Not managing the disease, not managing the ailment, not managing poverty, but getting up. And you guys, it seems to me that you have this information, you see this every day, and that we need to have a very thoughtful discussion, and you can grab the data about what is causing this. Because otherwise, you guys measure, you know, if the idea is, are they eligible for TANF, and you say, yeah, and we got it to them in 24 hours instead of 72 hours, and then we call that a win. That is, from a systematic, you know, perspective, you've won, you're efficient, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and we think that that's great. But my question is, why are so many of those people still kind of applying for TANF? Mm-hmm. Why are those people still, you get a child protection call, someone is, you know, there's abuse or neglect, you see it, you call it, you get somebody out there, you start getting them services, take the child out, do whatever you got to do, you done your work. But why is that particular geographic area, or why is that county seeing so much of those issues? Once again, I just think that I just want to know if you guys talked about it. I guess I'll ask the question, Madam Chair. I want to see if you guys talked about that, and if you've talked about the influence and how do you talk to policymakers about what you're seeing and not how efficient you are at addressing the issue, but how can you eradicate it? How can you get upstream of that?
Ms. Brumfield.
Madam Chair, Senator Hayden, we did talk about that, and that's really why we wanted to look at a holistic view of outcomes as opposed to outcomes simply by program. So right now, the data that comes before you is exactly what you are quoting. 60% of the people in that particular area are in public assistance. We can tell you what percentage of children are reported for maltreatment. We can give you those numbers, but they don't really tell how well we're doing with those numbers. So if instead of simply looking at how quickly do we get somebody on public assistance, we look at the whole picture. How safe are children within that area? How well are we achieving employment for the people in that area? How well are the people who are in that area accessing medical care? You're looking at the whole quantitative and qualitative areas, and we're saying we need to maybe invest something different in this area. So these are the things that human services do with their programs, but it's a much bigger issue. But if we can begin to tell you whether or not we're impacting that, then we begin to look at what else do we need to do in those areas.
Sorry.
So it's only the beginning, but we hope to have a better picture.
Right. And Madam Chair, and I can appreciate that, Ms. Brunfield. I just think that there's a sense of urgency that I guess I have and that I know that you share. But there is a sense of urgency around we have been seeing it, looking at it, talking about it, studying it. I'm not saying that this isn't the way that we need to go. I'm not saying that. And I really do know you put a lot of work. You know, in 1996, I was a financial worker in Hennepin County talking about the same issues, decentralizing our services, making them community-based, holistic process, all of that we were talking about 15 years ago when I walked in the door and was typing into that antiquated Maxis computer that we still use today. And we're still kind of here. And so I just think that what we should be doing, with great respect to the work that you guys have done, and I think that I support it, but I think we ought to have a greater sense of urgency. I'm talking about us, not you, all of us, and that we have to come up with some recommendations that really start to inform us as to what is going on, especially in some of our our low-income urban centers that are continuously cycling through generation after generation after generation of poverty. There has to be an intervention that happens, and I can appreciate data-driven, best practice, evidence-based, yada, yada, yada work. And I don't mean to be facetious, but that's what it sounds like, and we've been hearing that a lot. But I haven't, but what I want to see is something that is much more revolutionary, much more that we have a greater sense of urgency as to say, here's what's going on, and here's who we're seeing. And we saw her grandmother, and we saw her mother, and we're seeing her child, and we can almost predict to the day when she's going to have her child and what's going to happen to the system. And we can report it, we can be efficient, we can predict it, we can use analytics to tell you when she's going to have her baby. But the question is, why is that happening, and how is this data, and how is the work that you're going to do start to eradicate or at least start to curve the trend that we see in our communities? Thank you, Madam Chair.
You know, I'm not going to go for a long time on this because you already did. You're absolutely right. But you point to the fact that this is a Kairos moment. You know, that's the kind of moment where we're on the runway. You know, we've set the platform for change. We need the information. You're right. It will require systems that are able to give us information. But even beyond that, it does require the discussion that we'll be able to have on an ongoing basis, based on the information and the measurements, about the real outcomes, to continue to press and eliminate the reasons for the concentrations of poverty we see in the inner city, across the state, in different pockets. And that's the conversation that we believe this is a platform to enable.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess what I want to do is thank you again for your report here. This is a lot of work that I see here. There's two things that did come to mind as you were speaking, though, and I think Senator Hayden brought the first one that was running through my mind, and that is that we have to be sure that we're not trying to drive forward by looking in the rearview mirror. And this is something that, you know, I'm going to assume that you're looking at the next stage of how to fix these things upstream. The second is that I'm always uncomfortable when when we have partners in a relationship, but one of the partners is able to take the stick approach and punish the other partner when things don't go right. And that's the one item that was a little bit concerning to me is the statement about financially penalizing a county when it doesn't perform. And that's, to me, that's somewhat like taking away food from your child that doesn't gain the kind of weight you want them to gain. You know, we need to be sure that that we don't aggravate the problem by taking away the solution to the problem. And I'm wondering if on page 17, you had some of the description of things that you're developing. One of them that comes to mind for me is triggers. Do you have early triggers where you can where something is going to become obvious before you have to put up a report on it, so that you can find out early that something is going awry, and now your partners can fix that problem or bring the resources to bear early, not necessarily waiting until the numbers are in and the results are known. Now you know there's a problem, but where someone can actually feel a trigger when it's not going right.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Senator Carlson. Yes, we do in some cases, but we also need better data systems to give us, as I said, real-time data, not rearview mirror data. And right now, a lot of the data we have is rearview mirror data. We did try to come up with some measures that we would look at that would be indicators that we had a problem. There are some areas where right now we have a better system in place that in some ways we're looking as a model, and that's our child welfare data. That is system that the counties put in and can pull out at any point in time. And we already have a fairly mature system there of the performance improvement plan, the regular reviews with the state that are really collegial reviews, the county reviewing themselves with input from the state. And in those cases, the counties ongoing are looking at their data, whether it's a monthly issue, whether it's a quarterly issue, and being able to say, how are we doing, and do we need to make course corrections? We don't have that throughout our system, and that's more of what we need, so that indeed we're not after the fact looking and saying we didn't do well. I want to respond just quickly to your comment, though, about the penalties and the punishment. That really, I have talked statewide to counties, and that has been an issue for counties. It continues to be an issue. We don't like the idea of punishment. On the other hand, the way this is framed is not that you're going to lose money, but that we're going to say you need to invest this amount of money in this program, because with actually 2 to 3 years of a plan, you still aren't making any progress. You really would be at a point of not making any progress.
We aren't making any progress.
Thank you. Thank you.
As a county, we're not making any progress. And there has been a lengthy period of time. I would like to believe that it is never going to happen, but there are times when it may. And I'm not sure how to not have that there, as much as counties would like to not have it there.
Well, we feed the baby. We
Senator Sharon.
I really appreciated Senator Ian's comments. I do think, first of all, I'm really excited about the work that you've done here. So don't take what we're talking about in that way. It sort of springboards us into this conversation that you've immersed yourself in a long time. Because a lot of what we're taking here, you have to do what you're talking about, which is when we ask, as the legislature asks, that we provide safety nets, we intervene in children's protection, vulnerable adults, disabled persons, and we're investing money there, that we're certain that the systems are in place that create the outcomes that we want. So there is that portion, measuring what our interventions are for problems that are out there to reduce the negative impact of those problems in people's lives. And that's a very different set of processes and policies than the ones that identify what is driving the problem and what are we doing in terms of our investments to change the trajectory that this exists and we have to make these investments over here. So those are two different processes, but they're very much related, because any really change in the expenditures over here is related to our intervention here. So I'm hoping that we get to that somehow in this process. So I really agree with what Senator Hayden was talking about there. I don't think it is juxtaposition to what you're doing, but it is another critical component to our being able to change the costs that and the dilemmas that are occurring over here. So I really want to support that. And then I just want to go back and say that I think it is the legislative goal to call upon our administrative system to be accountable. But when we do that by policy, by the policies and making certain that we are achieving those policies, we're talking here about counties I think of it very differently. I still hear the supervisory language. I still hear the, we have to hold those counties accountable. And I just want you to know, I really disagree with that concept. But what we ought to be talking about is WEAS, that when the measures are negative, then it's as much the state's responsibility as the county's, and that that we ought to not have supervisors going into the counties to oversee if they're meeting their objectives. What we ought to have is teams, and some of the team members are from the state and some of the team members are from the county, and that we will hold that team accountable. The supervisor doesn't hold the county responsible. We have somebody from the state that goes down and works with the team of members of the county to make sure that performance measures, well, that team leader is just as accountable from the state as the county participants are. So when we take a look at a problem, that we're looking at it in an integrated way, not in that, and Senator Carlson, with the notion coming in that we're going to have a hammer at the end of this that you're going to have, but we aren't. What's the state's account? What is the State Department? You know, is there a reduction in the state's budget because that team has failed to achieve the objective? No. It's just the counties that are paying the consequence. So those are the limitations that I see and I hear, and I know that this is very good and we want to move towards that, but I really would caution you against setting up a hierarchical system where you have the hammer, as Senator Carlson has at the state level, to punish the counties. If there is going to be something doled out in terms of a consequence, then the state should feel it, state administration should feel it, as much as the county's administration feels it.
Any response? Senator Hayden.
Well, I guess this will be a Senator Shannon, Senator Hayden, Senator Carlson. I absolutely 100% agree that if we share in the outcomes, if as well as, you know, what the consequences are, is the way in which we should set it up. So I worked in an environment in where you traveled around the state and you helped teams that were working with people that were homeless. So you not only talked to them about how it was working from a behavioral and a healthcare standpoint, but they also had some pretty specific contracts from Minnesota Housing and Finance Agency that needed, you know, those reports needed to go in quarterly or semi-annually or whatever. And we knew when the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency was coming to kind of take a look at it and what they would look for in their audit. And so the intermediary I worked with, who was in a relationship with the team that was doing the direct service, would come in advance of the state and really sit down and go through those records and files. We were meeting with them once a week or month anyways, but really ensure that those files were in a good place. So when the regulator came, we were sharing in its success of making sure that they were in their proper form. And so what that created was not an environment in which I was I was a contract manager, but it wasn't in the traditional, I come in and kind of point my finger and telling you are wrong or right and I was going to award you the next contract based on that. I was an integral part of ensuring that the team got the next contract because we were working together to make sure that those files were in the shape that they need to be and they were doing the work that they were supposed to be doing because the outcome. Because what happens, Senator Carlson said, is that if you punish the county, all you're doing is punishing the people you're trying to work with. You're punishing the client. You're punishing the participant. You're punishing the patient because then the client has to deliver the less services because they don't have the resources. So what sense does that make? Because now the person isn't getting what they're supposed to be getting, which means that they're not going to grow and thrive. And then we're going to review that and say, why aren't they growing and thriving? And then we're going to come back to legislature and get more money. Right, we'll start chasing our tail. So I do believe in the approach that we're all in it, that yes, there may be some natural consequences along the way, it's the language we often use, but if we all were in it together and we all were ensuring our success, and I know that that's what you want, but I would say that it is a familiar shirt for us that have been in this business for a while to get into a hierarchical process in which we then say, you know, it's the worker, the supervisor, the manager, the commissioner, right? And everybody kind of does what Everybody's scared of the next level up and what might happen to them. And I think that that has got us into this predicament today. So I would say, and I'm sure that some of that is woven in this, that we really do take an approach that is much, much more flat, and we're all enmeshed and integrated in one success. The last thing I will say, and I haven't been able to look at all of your documents, but I would really push that the people you serve become a much greater part of the conversation. Not those that serve them, not their advocates, not the organizations that get paid to be their voice, but them. The actual people, and it gets a little, it's tough, it's messy, it's hard to sometimes interpret and understand what they're saying. But if we take enough time in these groups to listen to the people that we're serving, I think that what will happen is you'll start to see your performance change. It's no different than when Target has a focus group that really goes in and asks the consumer what it is that they want and would they buy it or why wouldn't they buy it or what the price point is. They often talk to the people who they're targeting, and I think that we need to take an approach when we do this work to put the consumers of our services and have them much more involved in our process than everybody who kind of, you know, works with them.
Senator Lori.
Senator Sharon.
I'm not going to do another lecture here. I just have one quick question. When you were looking at these the areas that of program or service, you know, I see I see a variety of them. One of the areas that's under DHS that's not here, and I don't know if it's because it's a state-operated services and the counties are not necessarily engaged, although they have some responsibility to pay for some of it, is the security hospital in St. Peter for the persons who are maybe committed as mentally ill and dangerous or maybe not dangerous but committed there. Has that been a part of this review process and this effort to develop performance measures there as well?
Mr. Chair and Senator Sharon, no, that wasn't Johnson. Part of our scope because it's not a service that the counties are involved in delivery of. You said they do pay for it. Courts from the counties do the committing, but the county human services organization doesn't really have a role beyond that. And so we didn't include it as part of the scope when we were sort of scoping out what the essential services were.
But it doesn't Senator mean that Sharon. They couldn't borrow this methodology for analysis within the state's operated services, correct? If you're talking to somebody, would you make that recommendation to them?
Senator Mr. Johnson. Sure will.
We do have the auditor's report on state operated services tomorrow.
Good.
Mr. Chair, just a bit of a comment to the conversation Senator Sharon and Senator Hayden were having. I think that what Senator Sharon was talking about and Senator Hayden was talking about, the teams going out to help people, is the vision that we have of how we want this to work. That is what's done now in the child welfare area, working with the Child Family Services Review. It's also done with the disability waiver programs, where there's really a team that works with the county and sort of helps them figure out what's working, what isn't working, and so forth within their area. I do think that that the department's challenge in this is really a culture change for us to be more engaged on that level. And as I said, it happens in a couple of places, doesn't happen everywhere, doesn't even happen consistently within those areas because we have different roles that we play. And that's going to be a big challenge for us. But a piece of that, too, is understanding, going back to what Commissioner Carter said at the very beginning, about the number of processes that we put in place that counties have to comply with. We also have a role that you expect us to carry out to make sure that they're complying with those processes. And so we're always balancing our kind of role in compliance and our role here in trying to help toward performance. And if there are some of those processes we don't need to have, then that makes it easier for all of us collectively to be focusing on the performance and not so much on those compliance processes. While the counties have the strong interest in reducing some of those processes and being able to focus more on outcomes, it also helped the whole system work better because we can all focus there and not have as many resources going toward compliance. Important compliance we need to keep in place. We all understand we need to know where the dollars are going. We need to have that kind of oversight, counties and state, and we need to continue to work together on that. But we need to look at some of those processes, too, that we have in place now that may or may not be serving outcomes. It may be in the way of counties being able to have the flexibility they need to accomplish the outcomes.
You know, I'm going to make a comment myself here. I think a big piece of this that I'm sensing is a frustration. I know Senator Carlson and Senator Sharon and I were here. We were in our first year in 2007 when the OLA report first came out and identified some serious issues regarding, you know, outcomes and performance of our, you know, county-delivered social services. And we took it very, very seriously. There was a proposal that, you know, was a really big hammer, had some really serious issues with it in 2009. It probably went too far. But now we've had this long stakeholder, and it's frustrating to sit, you know, now in 2013, 5 years later. But I think that your work is valuable, and I'm really glad to have a step forward finally. And I think that we're going to have a really good conversation around it. And I think that it's a framework for really making some fundamental change. And change is incredibly difficult to approach. And I think this experience really highlights that. Commissioner Carter.
I do want to say thank you for your avid attention to this matter today. And you're right. It's been 3.5 long years. And here we sit talking about this launch pad and implementation process that will move us forward. But that's what we're talking about. Nevertheless, it should be said that counties have not remained still and in place over those 3.5 years. You're aware that the context within which this effort has been growing is one in which we all have been consistently focused on redesign to achieve the outcomes that we need for our communities. You are aware of many such efforts that have taken place across our state and counties, and of work that the legislature is doing also focused on redesign. The county's AMC's primary initiative in that regard is the MAGIC Act. Yep. So this within the context of our seeking the ability to provide services within the context of need that we have in our counties and the flexibility from mandates and process requirements, seeking waivers to enable us to accomplish the work and leave some of those old requirements behind. That is going to be very important, and we are hoping also that the legislature will be looking very seriously at assisting to advance that work. That's what will help us to understand within those concentrations of poverty and other areas within our state what the real needs are, you know, what we need to do and to have the flexibility to do what we need to do to overcome those issues. I wanted to mention that, because that really is the context within which we are bringing this forward. It's continuing work to improve outcomes in the counties that is going on right now, but a need for this definition, this new partnership that we are practicing to move forward so that over time we are able to see that we're doing the work more effectively and more efficiently because of the agreement on outcomes and the flexibility that we achieve.
You know, one point, and maybe this was covered, I had another bill to present. Sorry, I was gone for a little while. But moving from process measures to outcome measures is a very positive step. And I did notice in your broader report, there was something like 10 pages of statutes to be repealed. Is that going to be in the governor's budget along with this proposal, that whole set of repealers?
Mr. Chair, it is. It's a lot of obsolete and unnecessary statutes and reports that have gone away. It isn't getting as much into the substance as I think we wanted to of kind of processes that may be obsolete. We think that can just be an ongoing process, but it does get a whole bunch of stuff in there that we don't need to have anymore that we can get out.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Ms. Broomfield.
Mr. Chair, just a final comment. We believe passionately that this is an important thing to do and that it will really move us forward. But I also want to caution, it's only one piece of what needs to happen. And I heard that discussion many times here today. I can tell you it happened in all of our work groups. We're dealing here with what counties have to do for the people we have to serve right now who are in critical situations. It doesn't address in any way whatsoever what we need to do in order to prevent those things happening in the future. And those are preventative services that we know some things that we could be doing. They require an investment. So this is only part of the issue. It doesn't solve the whole problem. But it will begin to give us information. And when we talk about transparency and accountability, we're talking about accountability to our taxpayers, but to the citizens we serve as well, not just accountability to the State Department of Human Services. But with this information, it will help us to go forward and say, if we were doing this additional piece that we're not required to do right now, we could perhaps not have as many people coming forward in the next generation. And that's really where we want to get to.
Thank you.
Thank you very much
for your presentation, and thank you for being at least tardy to your hearing.
Support the stay.
Good.
Very good.
So just another reminder, tomorrow we are in room 107. We are going to be hearing the auditor's report on state-operated services, and we're going to have two bills before us. So with that, the committee stands adjourned.